from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will hang out with you until 4 o'clock, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. How worried are you that the Kings are going to get a deal done with Mike Brown, or not getting a deal done with Mike Brown? How much does that worry you? Hit us on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, A Healthy Life Starts with Healthy Food. If you call this program, it will ring until we can pick it up. We don't have a call screener, so if it rings and rings and rings, just have a little patience for us. That's all. I want to remind you tonight, 5 o'clock, Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals, Timberwolves at Mavericks. The Mavericks looking for a sweep. Did you know, James, that there has never been two sweeps in a conference final since we've gone to 7 games?
Really? I did not know that.
Never, ever. The finals begin June 6th.
Yeah, like next Thursday, right?
We might get an all-time hilarious Timberwolves whistle tonight.
Oh.
Like, yeah. I'm pretty anti-conspiracy theory, league offices calling officials, going, hey, did I say something, or are you doing a ref thing?
No, I'm doing a ref thing.
Okay, I thought I said something. I'm usually pretty anti, like, Adam Silver's on the phone calling the refs and being like, hey, we need Team X to win tonight, so make sure. I don't believe that happens. But if it ever did, it would not shock me if we see that for the Timberwolves tonight, and then maybe even in Game 5.
Mm.
Then if the finals or if the conference finals end tonight, there is not NBA basketball for like more than a week.
9 days. 9 days of no hoop.
Of nothing.
Wild.
And well, WNBA, like there's WNBA to watch.
Yeah.
But for the NBA specifically, what do you do? What do you talk about? By the time the finals, like you already have, it's going to be Dallas or Minnesota with Boston. So they're already probably fretting the market size of the Western Conference team. But now you're just going to have 9 days where we're just dissecting the series front, back, upside down. I don't.
Yeah, it's going to be wild, man. That's a long time.
I think we're going to get a really, really friendly Timberwolves whistle tonight.
I also think the Timberwolves are going to come out swinging. Like, I do. I think that they're going to come out. But I've thought that every time. And it kind of feels like the Dallas Mavericks are just kryptonite for them. Like, I feel like so much this year, the Western Conference, right? I think the Eastern Conference, it's not just Indiana that got, like, a free pass to the Eastern Conference Finals. the Celtics did too. Like Celtics, mm-hmm. like didn't they play the Heat without Jimmy Butler?
Yes.
And then who they play in the second round? Oh, the Cavs, Cavs. And Donovan got hurt.
Yeah, and Jared Allen was out.
And then they like Harris LeVert. Like they like yeah, by the end
that was game four. That was
yeah. By the end it was like five. Very yeah. thin roster, right? Yeah. But the Western Conference, it feels like it's one team against another that's just a bad matchup. Like, I don't know that we're seeing the best two teams in the finals at all. But what I do understand is that we had the two teams that, for whatever reason, throughout the course of the, mm-hmm. the playoffs, faced a team that was a bad matchup for that other team.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you can look at the Clippers in the first round. Without Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. they didn't have the defender to slow down Luka in the right way, right? Yeah. And you just keep going through the rounds, and mm-hmm. it feels like, okay, this is a matchup-based issue,
yeah.
which is, it's just random. If we would have jumbled up, if Dallas would have been number two and Minnesota would have been number one, and mm-hmm. like and we would have not seen these teams until like they would have had to go a different path, I don't know that we would have the same two teams sitting here.
Yeah, I agree.
I like Dallas was the fifth seed, and also Dallas missed the playoffs last year. And you know what they didn't do? They didn't fire Jason Kidd.
Nah, well,
I'm just saying, like, just saying they didn't fire Jason Kidd, and this year when things were going great, they gave him a massive extension.
Huh?
And so for me, like, look, I think that it's very possible that if Dallas played Denver on the way to this point, that Denver would be the one representing the West.
Yeah.
And I also think it's possible that OKC could have been different. And like all of these teams are so, they just have matchup issues for the other squads. So.
Yeah, and I think especially in this Minnesota series, so much of it has been A, just shot making, and yeah. B, experience. Because Luka hits the big three over Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
But then Naz Reid had a good look.
Oh, yeah.
For the win. On the other end, if he knocks that down, we've got a 2-1 series right now. And in game three, that was a 2-point game with 3 minutes left. And then Dallas, you know, pulled away at the end. But it's not, I think it's definitely a matchup thing because Anthony Edwards in particular has really looked bad,
mm-hmm.
Particularly compared to how he looked early in the playoffs. But yeah, man, I wouldn't have looked, I don't look at Dallas and go, oh, this is just, Boston has very obviously been the best team in basketball all year. By every metric.
I totally agree.
But Dallas was never that. Like, Dallas is good. Like, any, you go, hey, you have Kyrie and Luka, any, you know, you can get any series with those guys, but I would not have ranked them in the top two or three of teams I thought would come out of the West. Not at all.
Not at all.
So, I've been super impressed with them. Luka is just a force, man. He looks like he is, I hate the phrase flipping the switch, but it looks like he's taken as big a step as you can make for a player of his caliber at this point in their career. It's like he's turning some kind of corner, and man,
I think it's crazy. I have a wild theory on this too.
Ooh.
I believe that like I said this when they traded for Luka last year. Everyone was concerned that when they traded for Kyrie, everyone was concerned that you're basically, it's like the Trojan horse thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're sending a guy in and he's going to be the reason why this whole thing blows up.
Yeah.
They end up falling apart completely, but it was for a totally different reason than what everyone thought. It was because once Kyrie stepped on the floor without Luka, everyone in Dallas was like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest breath of fresh air ever.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun playing basketball with Kyrie and without Luka. And I think that momentary like blip where they fall apart to finish the season,
mm-hmm.
they learn a lot. And Luka learned a lot about what leadership is and what being a teammate is. We get to the next season and it took a little while, but all of a sudden Luka figured out why Kyrie was so beloved by his teammates.
Yep.
And that in itself is the reason we are seeing Luka Doncic with joy. He has found out, he's figured out, let go of what he thought basketball was and let go of his like egocentric basketball that he plays. And he's found himself as a player on the court with Kyrie. And again, it's really weird how it's kind of come full circle.
Yep.
Where they broke him down, the team fell apart, they came back renewed, and look at what they look like now. It's just crazy.
They look like a legitimate championship contender.
Out of nowhere.
Game four tonight, Mavericks and Timberwolves right here on ESPN 1320. Before we hit the break, it's time for everybody's favorite segment with Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Kyle. James, have you guys had a good weekend?
Yeah, man, had a great weekend. What you got?
Days. It's good being with Ty. Hey, first of all, Dallas, that is some front court they got. The combination of Luka and Kyrie, you're talking about a half a semester worth of college games. Luka, I mean, we got to be kicking ourselves. Same thing with Phoenix. But no way you guys let Mike Brown walk. You haven't reached plateau yet. There's more work to be done. You got to keep hearing his money. You're in a contract extension. Don't be a fool.
Hell yeah.
Don't be a fool, Kings.
I'm right there with you. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate you, buddy.
Take care.
Mitch in New Jersey, everybody. I totally agree. He said it. Mike Brown earned his money. Give it to him. I just couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Right there with you, Mitch.
Science.
My man. Thanks for the call. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you'd like to join the show. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, I teased that Andy Bailey trade idea.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot to discuss, so I'm just going to throw it out here in the final minute of this segment. Andy Bailey, Bleacher Report, proposes this trade for the Kings. The Pelicans get Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter, and a 2027 first-round draft pick. The Kings get Brandon Ingram.
Done deal.
Like, do that yesterday.
Yeah.
Can't technically, but do that for sure.
There should already be like house searches going on.
Yeah, if
that's the case.
If that's the kind of deal that's on the table, I will. God love Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter and that 2027 first. I will drive him to the airport.
Yeah.
Like start getting the Brandon Ingram contract ready. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
That's an easy one.
Like that's a layup. Not a lot to talk about there for me. I got nothing.
No.
We've been talking about like, hey, would you give up three firsts?
Yeah.
Andy Bailey's like, no. How about one first?
One first and $35 million worth of contract for 2 years straight. $35, $36
million. Gone. For
yeah.
a secondary shot creator.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Me too. Good trade. Good trade idea, Andy Bailey. All right. We got good idea or bad idea coming up next. Three headlines. Are they good ideas or bad ideas, including Bronny James denying a bunch of workouts leading up to the NBA draft? A MLB villain, an all-time MLB villain, is retiring, and the Raiders did it good. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Tonight, 5 o'clock, Timberwolves-Mavericks, Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals, right here on ESPN 1320.
Bring gas!
See you there.
Mm-hmm.
Tap in. I see Don on the line. We will get to Don here shortly. Good idea or bad idea real quick, then we'll get to our caller.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Good idea or bad idea, three things happening in the world, and we determine whether those things are good ideas or bad ideas. Number one, Bronny James is not working out for any teams except for the Lakers and Suns, and the Suns, according to a report, are considering taking Bronny James at number 22 overall. I believe that was Shams Charania who reported that. Good idea or bad idea? Let's not for Bronny, but for the Suns to take Bronny at 22.
First of all, I don't think that if you're drafting him as the player, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay.
If you're drafting him because you think that means his dad is going to come play for you, okay. But the Suns are in a really weird situation where their payroll right now for next season is at $206 million. And what that means is that unless the Lakers would, for some reason in some world, take Bradley Beal in exchange for LeBron James, which I do not believe that they would. But if they would, then sure. But if not, LeBron James would literally have to pay for the minimum. He would have to say no to a $51 million contract and play for less than $4 million per year.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. I don't think that's what's going down for sure. I think it's a bad idea for Phoenix. Even if they believe in Bronny James as a player, their window's very small.
Mm-hmm.
And all accounts, everything I've read and heard about Bronny James is that there's improvement required and growth required there for him before he can be a contributor on a title team. And like Phoenix, their window's what, the next two seasons?
Yeah, probably.
Kevin Durant, maybe three if you're super lucky.
Yeah.
I think that's a bad idea for the Suns. Number two, Angel Hernandez. MLB umpire who has drawn the ire of fans, coaches, players, media, everybody, has announced that he is retiring from Major League Baseball. He has umpired his last game. Good idea or bad idea for Angel Hernandez to step away?
Yes, it's the greatest idea of all time.
It's a phenomenal idea. Congratulations to Angel Hernandez on a career. He definitely had a career as an umpire.
He did. He umped games.
Boy, did he. And now he'll never ump another game, everybody. Let's celebrate. That's so big time.
Is he the umpire that cost the guy the perfect game at first base?
No, that was Jim Joyce.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah. All big right. Jim Joyce guy, by the way.
Okay.
Called him to get him on air one time. Nicest guy ever.
Nice.
Yeah, big Jim Joyce fan.
Okay.
Yeah, great idea for Angel Hernandez. We commend him for retiring. Number three, the Raiders renegotiated Max Crosby's contract. No extra years. Just gave him $6 million extra dollars.
That's brilliant.
It's yes.
Hey, man, look, you're really good. How about $6 million extra?
Yeah. Hey, this might take a year or two to really get this thing rolling with Tom Telesco and with oh my God, Antonio Pierce. Super blanking on their head coach's name. With Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce. Here's $6 million. Appreciate you. Here's some money. Keep you motivated.
Yeah.
Although I don't think Max Crosby motivation is ever going to be a problem for him. He's one of the highest motors in the league. But it's a good idea. Pay your players. And Max Crosby has definitely earned it.
I agree 100%.
Good for the Raiders.
Good for the Raiders.
Don, you're on the Insiders. What's going on?
Yes, sir. Kyle Hammer. What's going on? It's TC.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What's up, TC?
Call screener said you were Don. What's up?
Hey, nah. Hey, don't even trip, man. This is Don, man. Hey, look. Hey, that's my nickname, Kyle. Hey, listen. So, Kyle, I'm gonna take a different approach with the Mike Brown contract. Okay. I'm gonna be like super optimistic, right? So, what if this whole situation, like what Mike said, if I'm not mistaken, Mike said in the beginning, he said, you know what? It's about the team first, and I want to get the players in. So, what if this is like a smokescreen? Like, hey, I know it seems weird, but hey, this is a smokescreen to throw other teams off of our moves we're trying to make as far as trades, but also make like Mike Brown's contract. Is it more important than the players that we're trying to get into the organization? So when you, like, the approach is, what I'm trying to say is, you're approaching people like, everybody's like, well, Mike Brown's leaving. I don't want to get traded there. They're like, no, you want to get traded here because Mike Brown cares so much about the team and wants the team to get together and get the right pieces in here. He's not worried about his contract until later. He wants the team to get right first before he gets right. What you think about that, Kyle? Is that too much in the weeds, or what you think?
Thanks for the call, TC. Appreciate you. I don't think that's what's happening.
No, Don, you're in the weeds. Yeah. I mean, that's like three-dimensional chess. And
I,
like I think
idea,
I think we're
I
still
think
playing checkers here. Yeah.
I think Mike Brown would very much like a contract, and then the roster could figure itself out.
Well, that, and I honestly think, like, if the reason why you don't wait, and I know some people have asked this question, the reason why you don't wait is very specific. It's that if you wait, then you can't pitch Mike Brown and his stability as part of the package for free agency. And for guys like Malik Monk, like players want to know who's going to coach them. Mm-hmm. They want to know that their role, because look, you could have, again, Malik Monk play as a sixth man of the year. He should have won under Mike Brown. And you could also have him elevated in the starting lineup. We don't know what will happen there. But even if he's a sixth man of the year, you could have another coach come in and like he instantly falls out of favor with that coach and is sitting on the bench for the next 3 years.
Yep.
Like that can happen. And that's something that the players are very cognizant of. Like the coach that you're playing for now has brought a lot out of Malik Monk, has given Malik an opportunity. Malik has taken advantage of that opportunity, but he gave him the opportunity, put him in a role that's made him into a very, very valuable player. Whether that's as a starter or coming off the bench for someone else, it doesn't matter. He's helped make him into that player. And again, kudos for Malik for taking the leap, but also the NBA is so much about opportunity.
Yeah.
Opportunity and whether you take advantage of the opportunity. But in order to take advantage of an opportunity, you first have to have the opportunity, Kyle. And I think he's given him the opportunity, and Malik has thrived under Mike Brown. And I don't know that that's going to be the case everywhere. Maybe it will be.
And in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/ESPN1320, one Groovy Greg, shout out to Groovy Greg, said, do you think that Kings players slash agents will pressure the organization to extend Brown? This is something I've kind of wondered with the Malik Monk contract. Is that something where he's like, hey, I would love to stick around, but I got to know that I'm riding with Mike Brown for the duration of this deal, whether it's 2 or 4 years or whatever it is. Like that has to be part of this for him and for any other free agent that is considering being here.
Like, look, I think the one thing about the Kings is that their 2-star level players are like relatively quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if they haven't had a conversation about this situation with the brass, or if they aren't going to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, this is the off season, and I think anyone who was on social media this weekend, we all at this point, you know that Rosé, De'Aaron's wife, is pregnant again. So, congrats to the Foxes, baby number. So look, they might be like, they've got their own things going on. This is the off season, and I know that they're working. I know they're around all that stuff, but there could come a point where these guys do need to say something. And if I'm Sabonis and Fox, I would have that conversation. I would go to management and have the conversation. If you feel that way, if you feel that Mike is your guy, and I would point out that, you know, Rosé was a player development coach for the Golden State Warriors, like a player development intern with Luke Laux, and with the Golden State Warriors, while Mike Brown was a lead assistant there. Like, there's a relationship here, and I would be surprised if that conversation doesn't happen, because I think it should happen. I think if you're De'Aaron Fox and you're looking at the next couple of years and saying, should I lock up, should I stay here or not, you should know what's going to happen. And with Sabonis, you just like signed the big contract, and you don't sign the big contract with like, all right, I'm signing up, whatever happens next is cool.
Right.
No, you're signing up because you believe in what's happening in the program and the way you're going.
Yeah.
And, like, this is like steps are being taken and all this stuff that hasn't happened in Sacramento for almost 2 decades. All of a sudden things are happening the right way. I would make that phone call.
Yeah. I 100% would.
Yeah.
Do you worry at all that it... Actually, you know what? Let's answer this next. Are you worried at all that Malik Monk's free agent decision may be impacted by this? We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320. Talking about the Mike Brown contract situation on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Really surprised at you.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. We're with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. One of those two, either D'Lo or KC, will be in here in about 12 minutes. 12-ish minutes. One of those guys will be in here. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs with them. But we've been talking a lot about Mike Brown's contract today and the fact that Adrian Wojnarowski reported on Friday, a fun way to start off the weekend, that the Kings and Mike Brown have tabled contract talks for the time being. There is still a gulf between them on what that contract's going to look like. And one of the first things I thought about with this was, if you're Malik Monk and you're thinking about re-signing with Sacramento, which I think is minimum 50-50 type of thing that he's going to do. This can't help. I don't know how much it hurts. I don't know if he's like, hey, if Mike Brown isn't signed long term, I'm not signing long term. I have no idea what level of dedication he has to Mike Brown specifically as the coach. But I definitely don't think it's helpful if you're a player like Malik Monk, who's getting 4 years and $100 million from the Magic, and then something that amounts eventually to 4 years and $100 million. We're not going to go into the machinations of how the Kings could make that work, but you're also getting that from Sacramento, and you kind of look at what Jamal Mosley and the Magic did this year, and you're looking at the Kings, who can't decide who their coach is going to be for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that helps.
No, I mean, I think that that's a problem, right? I do. As a free agent, you want to know exactly where you're going to be. Now, I'll also point out that, like, in his exit interview, Malik was very clear, like, that Mike didn't make him a better NBA player, that he gave him an opportunity, and that Malik took advantage of that opportunity. He was very distinct to, like, kind of create that idea that it's something different. But I think it plays into a larger picture, right? So if we're going to, let's just say that Malik gets a 2 year contract, right? Let's say Malik gets a 4 year contract, but after year two, there's an opt out. So he's going to get 17.4 and then 18.5 or whatever. He's going to get, like, right around a 2 year 36, but it'll look more like a 4 year 78 on paper. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be that opt out, right? What would make you think, if you're Malik, that any promises that the Kings, like, quietly could make to you, that, hey, look, what we're going to do here is we're going to give you a 2-year deal, but you opt out after year two, then we'll have full Larry Bird rights and we'll give you a much larger contract. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll discuss a neighborhood of this amount of money.
Sure.
What would make you feel the confidence that the team is going to hold up that their end of the bargain there? Because
Zero.
And not only that, but like a lot changes in 2 years.
Yeah.
A lot changes in 2 years. If we're talking about 1 year of Mike Brown and then you're starting over with a new coach in year two, what is Malik, like what does his value look like at the end of year two?
Right. And what does new coach want to do with Malik Monk specifically?
Yeah. What if you lose value in your second year with the Kings?
Right. Because the Kings, trust, this is not a Kings thing. This is just an any team in any sport thing.
Yeah.
If they said, yeah, hey, we'll talk about a contract north of $30 million a year after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monk goes out and has a fine year this year, but then next year under a new coach, averages 6 points and 2 assists a game.
Or 11 points, or you know,
sure.
Even that.
If his numbers dip precipitously.
Yes.
The Kings are going, yeah, okay, hey, let's talk 35. They're going, ooh, actually.
Oh. Wait.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, we're not quite sure. And, you know, you didn't really get along with the new guy.
Yeah.
All that well.
And again, that's not, I don't want to put that on the Kings. That's what any team would do.
No, but I mean, that's the situation, though.
Right. That's where, the door they're opening up.
Yeah, because when we talk about, oh, there, it's just a clear path that, you know, the Kings are going to continue to get better each and every year. We don't know that that's going to be the case. They just literally lost 2 more games than they did the year before. We don't know if it's a downward trend, if it's an upward trend. All I know is what I don't want to see is the confusion over this in the middle of a season where coaches start coaching for their lives, start playing guys that, you know, we get to January and you're coaching for your life and you're in Sacramento and you're like, all right, forget this. Let's start playing guys 38 to 42 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And let's try to go for every single win, which you should anyways try for every win. Mm-hmm. But opportunities shrink for other players. Things change. Like, that's why you don't do this, because it's not a motivational tool. Mike Brown has been in the league for 30 years. You're not going to use you got to prove it to me. Mike's already proven what he needs to prove.
Bro, that's the other thing that I can't shake with this is I think there's a lot of coaches who would go, hey, there's 30 jobs. I have one. And I will do whatever it takes to keep this gig.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a handful of coaches in the league. I don't know off the top of my head which ones, but I think Mike Brown is one of them because, like you said, he's been around for 3 freaking decades. He's been to finals. He's taken teams to playoffs. He's turned this team around.
He's got 4 rings as an assistant.
He is chilling. I think he is one of very few coaches in the league that are like, but it'll come back around. Like, I'm not going to kowtow to whatever contract demands you're putting on the table because I need to keep my one head coaching job. Like, there will be opportunities.
Oh, yeah. He'll be an assistant in the league. If he wants that, he might not get another head coaching job like right off the bat. Maybe he will because performance he just did in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
where he turned around a franchise that hasn't been good for 16 years.
Yeah.
Like, there's a possibility he'd get another opportunity right away, but there's also a possibility that he could go on to be an assistant for another 15 years in the league.
Oh, easy.
And just be like, okay, this is fine.
And his name, and like you said, maybe not next year or the year after, he doesn't, but his name would be in every head coaching search.
Yeah.
Remember how Jordy Fernandez, every time a team had a head coach opening, he was on the short list?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be Mike Brown. That's why he was on the Kings list.
Yeah.
Good freaking coach. And I think he knows that. So that I could super be wrong. I don't know the guy. But I feel like the vibe for me is I wouldn't be shocked if he was like, hey, you want to do 5 a year? Like, all right, see ya. Goodbye.
And that's the thing. Like, the Kings aren't around that range from what I know. Like, they're higher than that. It's not like they're being disrespectful at this point.
Yeah, I picked a comic low number.
I think the problem is a combination of years and dollar. And also, like, I think we got in this discussion while we were on break. Meg in the chat had brought up that, you know, like, if Mike's looking for like 12 to 13, you know, and Budenholzer just got 50. You know, maybe he's looking for more. And from what I know, that's not the case, that there's not some like giant like margin here of craziness that Mike's asking for something over the moon. He's not asking for the 2-year 35 that Steve Kerr got. He's not asking for Popovich money or the 8-year $120 million deal that Spoelstra signed. He's not asking for that from sort of like the what I've been hearing around the team. But what he is doing is he's trying to solidify, like everybody else is at this point, this marker around the $10 million a year range that coaches of his ilk deserve.
Yep.
That they have been underpaid for many, many years. All of a sudden, the television deal is about to kick in. All of these things are happening. The franchise valuations are skyrocketing, but NBA head coaches aren't going to get the bump. No, they're getting the bump right now.
It's happening.
And it's a bump that should have happened years ago, but it's on guys like Mike and on Mike Budenholzer to like secure that a really good coach in the NBA, a guy with a 607 career win percentage, should get around $10 million a year. And younger coaches coming in, maybe they get 6, maybe they get 7. But the great coaches, maybe they get 17, maybe they get 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of on you as a coach to solidify what that means at this point. And it's why star-level players don't take less than what they can possibly get, the maximum they can possibly get. They don't want to set a standard that star-level players should take way less. So then the next star-level player that gets up there, he feels like he has to take less so you can build the team. Like, no. Like, you shouldn't. You should be able to get what yes. you're deserved. And,
yes.
you know, again, it goes down to the, if you have a $5 million house, at least you think it's worth $5 million, and no one will offer you more than $2 million, I hate to tell you, you have a $2 million house.
Yes.
Right? You have to set a standard, though, if these players and coaches that, like, no, the housing prices here, they moved up.
Mm-hmm.
We're now looking, like, everyone here is got at you know, the minimum is
right.
it's a $10 million
right.
house. The maximum is a $17 million house. The low end is yeah. a $3 million house. Oh, I mean, a $7 million house. We don't really let anyone else in the neighborhood for under that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm this comes down to this, and then we can move on.
Yeah.
For me. Extend him or move on.
Mm.
You're either sold at this point or you're not.
Yeah.
That's it. One more year going to dramatically change your mind? You're happy with the progress or you're not. So, anyways, we'll continue discussing this whenever it comes up.
Yeah.
Because this is now the number one offseason priority for the Kings is getting this done, if it wasn't already that. Speaking of contracts, just something I want to put out on the table right now, shifting gears to football real quick. Something I would like to put out on the table now in case it becomes a big thing, just so it's on our radar. Christian McCaffrey not at 49ers OTAs. And it not a massive surprise because he's a veteran who doesn't need the additional work, but he's also a lunatic who takes practice very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that he won Offensive Player of the Year last year and he is the fulcrum around which the entire 49ers offense runs, I would be shocked if he's not starting to make noise about a new deal.
Mm.
And this is the first kind of volley in that.
That's intriguing because running backs just, they don't get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. But at the same time,
he does.
Not every running back does what Christian McCaffrey does for an offense. So I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes a bigger thing, or if at some point the 49ers give him, you know, a couple more years, give him some more guaranteed money, and keep him around in San Francisco.
It's intriguing, isn't it? What do you pay a guy now? Like, I don't know what the answer is to that. Like, how do you pay an NFL running back, especially you have like the best of the best? Like,
yeah.
And you're already paying him way more than all the other running backs are getting paid. Like, how do you manage that? And how do you manage what has become like such a steep decline? I would love to say Christian McCaffrey is going to play another 5 years at this level and just be like, oh my gosh.
You don't have to give him 5. You can give him 2 more years.
Yeah.
And give him some more guaranteed cash. I think he's got $12 million left on his deal. $12 million a year left over the next couple of years. Make it 15 and call it a W.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. But again, he might not even be holding out for a contract. That's just kind of my speculation. Western Conference Finals tonight. Timberwolves at Mavericks. We'll get to the handoff here with Kenny Caraway shortly. And Kenny, I'm glad that you're in the building for this. Let's get that microphone on, and let's get your camera in the screen. There we go. Kenny Caraway, it's time for the handoff.
Yeah.
Timberwolves at Mavs game four tonight. 5 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320.
Bring gas.
We'll see you there.
Oh, man.
Boy. Hey, here's what I want to start off with, because, James, I threw this at you over the weekend and then said, don't reply to this. I've had some drinks. I just wanted to throw this on the table for Tuesday.
Okay.
We've talked about if the Kings use their draft pick. We've talked a lot about wings. Mm-hmm. 6'7" athlete, can play some defense, maybe knock down a three and contribute right away. After watching what Derek Lively has done for the Mavs in the playoffs, specifically in this series, and how impactful he has been, mm-hmm. I know he's out tonight. He's got a sprained neck.
Oof, that was
but
tough.
That was really bad. Mm. Would it be better for the Kings to look for that kind of player instead? Somebody who can be like a backup big and just you can say, hey, go run and try and block shots.
Well, it's funny you say that, because before, you know, we were doing some other stuff, me and Damian Barling, my man D-Lo, usually Monday, Wednesday, Friday is Kenny's days on the handoff.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, Thursdays is D-Lo's days on the handoff.
Oh.
He said, I'm going to go in there. I said, no. I'm going to go in there. I got to talk to these dudes. I got to talk to these dudes, man. I got to talk to them, because I was listening on the way in.
Oh.
And this ties into your question. I'm going to get to your question.
Great.
But the whole discussion that you guys had about the Kings offense and what we see now, you need defense. This is what Mike Brown has been talking about, all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say I disagree, because I don't. But I think you need offense. In a bad way on this team. And this is where answering your question comes. If they can get that offense, then yes, you go try and get you a Lively
sure.
at 13 if you sure. didn't trade the pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think those type of guys, I don't want to say they're easily, you can find them easy, mm-hmm. but like Lively, Daniel Gafford, like they're there. Like you can mm-hmm. you can find them. Rashawn Holmes, when he was at, you know, his yeah. height, you know, you can find those guys. You guys, they need somebody that can give buckets.
Yeah, don't get me wrong on the needing offense thing.
Mm-hmm.
That adding another shot creator, Malik Monk or otherwise, or even if they bring back Malik Monk, you need more shot creation mm-hmm. for sure. Like not, hey, this guy shoots 42% from three, but he can't dribble more than twice. Like no, you need somebody who can create off the bounce, and maybe it's Keegan, maybe it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. I am in on that. Their roster needs to be different, for sure. I'm talking just from as a coach.
I thought that was a misstep from Mike Brown in training camp. I thought maybe there's too much. Maybe I'm putting too much into like there's powers and power mm-hmm. in the words and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what he was saying in like with the team. He could have been saying just this and mm-hmm. or whatever. But I always thought the notion, and he didn't say this specifically, but the notion that the Kings can take a step back on offense, but if they improve on defense, they'll be a better team.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No. You always have this. This is your, for
it
better
is
or for worse.
About putting the ball in the basket.
This is who you are. And it, yep. it kind of started with that. And I don't think the season is Mike Brown's fault, nothing like that. I agree with you. And James said it too. Malik Monk doesn't go down. I think when they lost that Mavericks game, they were like a game out of six. You know, when mm-hmm. he went down. Like,
yeah, it was a huge game.
It was right there if he would have stayed healthy. Mm-hmm. But with the whole Kevin Huerter, Chris Duarte stuff, I didn't like it when it happened.
Mm.
I understand he's not this great defender, but that's who you have, and that is part of what made you special last year, and you've got to empower that. You've got to find a way as a coach to empower that. I'll talk about it on the show a little bit because it's a funny story. But there's a situation with a little funny situation with my daughter right now. Interesting situation. She's got to take some medicine. She doesn't want to take the medicine. So what we have to do is we've got to slip this medicine into this applesauce that she likes so she can get better. She's not going to just take the medicine just in general. She needs the applesauce there. And you got to say, yo, you need this. You need this, but I'm going to let you get what you want, too. I'm going to let you get your applesauce. And that, I thought, should have been the overarching message with this Kings team this past year. Keep doing what you do on the offensive end. And we're going to find a way to get that ibuprofen defense in there. Like, I'm going to feed you some defensive stuff. But no, please, no steps back on the offensive end. None.
Sure.
None. Matter of fact, turn it up even more. And I'm going to find a way to get you to play defense. But the notion that it started out in the off, oh, they could take a step back on offense, but if they improve on defense, that's going to be, no, that was never the issue. That should have never been the case.
Hmm.
Okay, so my rebuttal to this would be that as a coach and as a parent, you have to figure out the workaround. And for me, like, maybe there was a misstep here with Mike and Kevin Herter and the way he tried to reach him, because as a coach, you had to treat everybody the same. Like, everyone has to follow the same rules. But you don't coach players the same way. Each player is totally unique, and you need to find a way to reach that player. I think his misstep might have been that he tried one approach with Kevin Herter, and it didn't work at all. But that, you can't blame a coach for trying one approach with one player and that not working out short term. Mm-hmm. You got to get back in there and you got to find a different way to reach the player. And I think there were times where we saw Kevin start to pull out of his funk. Mm-hmm. But you're also, as a coach, you're being graded on wins and losses. And if a player is not giving you what you need as a coach to help you impact wins and losses and to get you wins, you have to look other places. You can't make the 2023-24 season trying to make Kevin Herter forget about the three-point contest and his performance in the playoffs. You as a coach and you as someone who has got no contract after this season, you got to be so hyper-focused on moving ahead. If Keon Ellis is a better fit and if Keon Ellis has given me a better opportunity to win, then I don't care how much Kevin Herter makes or the fact that you gave up a first-round pick for him. You got to do what's best for the whole, and you got to do what's best for yourself as a coach. But first and foremost, you got to do what's best for the rest of the group as a whole to move forward. And it's not always on a coach to say, man, I don't know why it is that guy can't shoot a three anymore. Sometimes you got to hand him off to a training staff and say, hey, man, can you guys try to get him right? You got to bring in a sports psychologist, say, hey, I need some help because I don't know how to get him right. But there was clearly something broken, and I think what Mike did probably furthered the issue short term, but you got to try everything as a coach.
You do, but my issue is, and like I said, Mike Brown should get his money. He should be back. This is not anything with him moving forward. But you do that with Keon Ellis this year. You don't do that with a sight unseen Chris Duarte. Like, Chris Duarte had done nothing here to even think about he should be playing over Kevin Herter or starting over Kevin Herter.
But he'd been there for over a month at that point. Like, when that happened, like, Chris Duarte had been there since, like, early September, playing pickup games with the guys every day.
And they could have saw things that we didn't see. But I know when the lights turned on, it was like, why is this guy?
Yeah, no doubt. But you have to try it. You have to give it a shot, right?
I would say you have to
give it. That's what preseason is for.
I would say you have to give Kevin Herter a longer leash. That, like, I would try more Kevin Herter before, like,
yeah, but
doing
he didn't,
that thing.
He was going to start a preseason game.
But
if Kevin Herter's psyche is such that Chris Duarte starting a preseason game is going to derail him in March,
remember
what are we doing here?
But remember, that wasn't the talk from all of us at the time. It was Mike is setting this up for Duarte to start. Like, it was not a preseason. Oh, let's see what's going on. We talked. Like,
yeah, but that was like for 2 days because Chris Duarte went out that preseason game and got hurt 10 minutes in.
But the whole point is if he doesn't get hurt, that Herter may know that.
Yeah, so they were trying something. Maybe it would have worked. Maybe it didn't. Or, I mean, based on what we know now about Chris Duarte, it wouldn't have worked. Mm-hmm. But you got to see it. You got to try stuff.
You can see it with him coming off the bench.
Well, yeah, but
you can
also
see how he plays coming off the bench. That's perfectly fine. And if he balls out like Keon ended up doing, and in the situation he's in now, yeah, that spot is gone because he proved himself out there. That no, this guy is who we want. We're not doing that sight unseen with Chris Duarte. We can see how he plays off the bench.
Yeah, but I'd also say, like, we hear this quote all the time: "Iron sharpens iron."
Mm-hmm.
okay? I don't see where the iron was in this situation. Mm. Like, I don't see where anyone got sharpened, and I don't know that either of them showed you that they were iron at all.
Yeah.
And that's a problem that needs to be addressed.
I know we got to shake it. One thing
real quick. We had 20 seconds.
The Kings lost in the playoffs. I'll die on this hill more because of their offense than their defense. Their defense was fine. Their defense was fine in the playoffs.
Hmm.
To the point where Golden State was writing letters about how physical they were. Their defense was fine.
Sure. All right. What do you guys got coming up?
Mike Brown, Bill Walton, the Celtics, all the weekend, all that good stuff.
Bring your ass.
Dylan and Casey next. Everybody have a fantastic rest of your Tuesday. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.